Hey guys, Allie Clifton from the Road Trippin' Podcast here. Since living in LA, it's taken me a couple years to find exactly what it is I am looking for in my home and lifestyle outside of work. So if you're like me, you want a change of pace and are ready to take the next step, the nerds at NerdWallet are here to help you make your dreams a reality. NerdWallet's team of nerds research hundreds of the top credit cards, mortgages, and more so you can easily compare and find what's right for you. Maybe you're looking for a change of pace, a home big enough for you and your family to grow, with a basketball hoop up front so you can practice your three-point shot. NerdWallet can help you compare and find the smartest mortgage rate to get some room for you, your family, and your hoop dreams. Ready to compare your way there? Take the first step by discovering the smartest credit cards, mortgages, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NMLS 1617539.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You have played for some ridiculously amazing Hall of Fame coaches. And I always remember your screens.
That was payback for all the screens that I took.
Your screens were the worst. Oh, my God.
Welcome to this edition of Road Trippin' with RJ and Channing, Richard Jefferson, Channing Frye. I'm your host, Allie Clifton, and our guest today is a five-time champ with the Los Angeles Lakers. He's the general manager, head coach of the Los Angeles Sparks, Derek Fisher. I must say that that probably was the easiest introduction, having done tons of shows with D-Fish and introing him like that every single time on Spectrum Sports. Now when we talk about the Lakers.
It's way too long. Too many syllables.
Exactly. With that said, Derek, how are you?
I'm good. Hey, see, how you doing this morning? You good?
Good. We're excited to have
you. RJ, C. Yeah. Fry, we got, you know, U of A in the building.
Well, yeah, my bald brother is here. What up, D? My bald, light-skinned brother's in the building. What's going on,
hey,
my man?
C. Fry's still hanging good, though. He's solid up there.
Then listen, no, this ain't going nowhere. No grays yet either.
Ooh, I don't this know. See, this is the thing. He's 7 foot. Stop. We can't see that little circle.
Richard. What? I'm part indigenous, Richard. This ain't going nowhere. If I grew it out,
you're
I would have
part
long,
indigenous.
Luscious locks.
He stopped using the term Indian.
Well, as you should, Richard.
No, I'm just saying. Catch up with the times. I'm just saying. I remember it was like a week ago you referred to you got Indian in your blood.
Yeah. Well, I did 23andMe. It's indigenous. It's different.
All right. Why did I come on here again? This is why it's taken so long to schedule this. Derek, let's start first with Coach Fisher, D. Fish. Let's start with the WNBA, the draft, the Sparks. You're fresh off of that.
Yeah.
Big night for you guys.
Yeah, barely fresh off of that. It was a long night just finishing up, you know, connecting with players. And we're excited. I mean, we felt like we had a great offseason prior to the draft. So we didn't go into the draft with like really strong needs necessarily in terms of impacting our team this season. But we just wanted the opportunity to be able to draft players that have a level of versatility in their game, you know, in the way they're built in terms of size, length, and being able to go left or right on the depth chart as we continue to kind of build our team. So we felt like we got that accomplished. You know, last night, and we're excited. Like I thought the WNBA draft was the best that I've experienced since I've been in the W. I thought the broadcast was quality. Some of the features that they did on the players. So I thought it was a good night for the W overall, in addition to us having a good night.
my question is this, and maybe it's just me, but Liz is one of the most polarizing players in sports. And I'm gonna say like men's basketball, women's basketball, basketball.
I'm a fan, Liz.
In general.
I'm a fan.
She, you know, it's hard, right, for someone to be as outgoing as she is off the court, as she is on, but as nice as she looks, is as mean as she is when she plays. So what is she going to bring to the Sparks? And, like, you know, getting that kind of attention, how do you think she's going to fit in?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great question. I think the fact that she came up first, that's what she's going to bring. You know, like, she just brings a level of recognition. When her name comes up, conversation starts, whether it's a basketball conversation, social media conversation, something that she said that she feels strongly about. And when you're trying to grow something, right, like you need people to be aware of it. Like you need people to know where to find it, right? Yeah. And so Liz automatically brings that, like, oh, yeah, I know her or I recognize her. I'm more curious or more interested in what she's doing, where she is, when her team plays, what she might say on an interview. To me, those are all positive things. And then when you start to break down what she says, while you may not always agree with the messenger or you may have thoughts about her, when you really start to break down the message, she's not always as far out as people think. Like she's really speaking truth to power in a lot of ways. And that's just her. Like from a basketball perspective, her size and length and her versatility as a player that can play on the block, but also is comfortable at the elbows, comfortable shooting the three, comfortable playing basketball. That's why we thought she was a unique fit, because the traditional centers, as you know, are even in the women's game, there are fewer and fewer of those. And so we didn't want to bring in a center that we felt like we were going to have to stop our game in order to play with her. Like she needed to be able to just play, and she fits a lot of those things.
My question about the WNBA, and it's funny because D-Fish, we understand this. Like in the NBA, there's 30 teams, and you still find hidden gems. You know, Nikola Jokic has a chance to be a two-time MVP. All the things that he's able to accomplish, he was a second-round pick. There's players that go undrafted. There's this and that. Well, the WNBA only has, you know, 12 teams, right? So when you look at that and you're like, how many players are there that could be elite, that could be great, that if they just got the opportunity? Now, I'm not necessarily talking about expansion, but I'm just saying, like, how difficult is it? Or is it easier because you're like, we only have so many roster spots, so it's only the best of the best of the best. But I feel like there's probably some great players that slip through the cracks that if they were to be given an opportunity, could be an all-star, could go on and be great. They just needed that opportunity. Is that harder, or does that make your job a little bit easier, knowing that you're only kind of going for the top talent versus having to search and find for that?
Yeah, I think initially starting out, it was I felt like it was easier because – it was really simple, right? Like you can only have 12 players. We have a hard salary cap. You know, it you can only keep so many. We can only spend this much. You know, very black and white. What I found is as I've grown in the league and in this job, it's difficult to try and put a team together without being able to look at a player. Not based off of like where she is today, but having the time to be able to invest in her growth as a player, as a woman, as a person. And as we all know, right, like you don't get the best of any player the first year, right? Like you're not going to see the best of that player until year 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, maybe some, even into on the men's side, if a guy's drafted at 19, he may not really reach his full prime until 27, 28, when it all starts to click. And so in the W, it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible to be able to roll the dice on a player. It's like you're forced to try to make a decision based on where she is today and how she's going to be able to help you in one or 2 years. Not really like seeing that projection of, you know, taking a player based off, which I don't know, we could argue about, right? In the NBA, it's a lot of potential and upside and, you know, wingspan and measurable things. We don't really know if he's going to be a good player, but he checks a lot of boxes. There's none of that really on the W. It's starting to come in. I thought some of the selections last night, teams are thinking about where they're going to be in a few years. But it's hard, man. The expansion conversation, the roster spot conversation, like, I think it's hard to think about, even though it's the right thing to do, right? There should be more jobs. There need to be more teams. But I also believe we have to get this right, what we're doing now, and then, you know, kind of branch out more. And that may not be the popular answer, but the 12 teams we have now, like, we have to continue to do a better job of servicing our players, making sure this is the best league in the world. When anybody turns on and watches it, they should feel like they're watching great basketball and these organizations are doing it right. And then we can keep adding and going from there.
All right, let's take a quick time out because it's NBA playoff time and I want to tell you about our partner over at Prize Picks. All right, road trippers, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Our entire crew loves it and we know you will too. Prize Picks has the best NBA prop game across the market. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS operator, and they offer every player and stat category you can think of. Want to get in the game now? There's no better time with the NBA playoffs now underway. All new users that make their first deposit and use the promo code ROADTRIPPIN will receive an instant 100% deposit match up to $100. All you have to do is pick 2 to 5 players and select an over-under on their daily projections. And you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks even allows mixed sport entries. Use the award-winning Prize Picks app, either on the App Store or Google Play today. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Make this year's NBA playoffs a little more exciting and enjoy a special bonus offer on us. Check out prizepicks.com and use the promo code ROADTRIPPIN or go to your app store and download the app today. Remember, Road Trippers, Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. All right, hold on, guys, because I know Channing wants to share something here.
Guys, you know, let's talk about this. There are all types of reasons that guys just aren't able to perform, whether that's age or a medical condition, whether that's you're old or you're young and anxiety with everything going on. But let me tell you this. I know that some of my friends use this, and BlueChew.com is an online prescription service that is able to help you when that time is needed to have fun in the sexy time. Hey, you know, the Blue Chew resembles Viagra and Cialis, but in the chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. You deserve to be able to have the best time when you need to without worrying about any of the other stuff. And here's a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code ROADTRIPPIN at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code ROADTRIPPIN to receive your first month free.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So you have played for some ridiculously amazing Hall of Fame coaches. And I always remember your screens.
That was payback for all the screens that I took.
Your screens were the worst. Oh, my God. Right in that part, right in my nubs right there. But, like, which coach do you think had the biggest influence on you now? And obviously the easiest answer would probably be Phil Jackson. But, like, which coach do you think now you look back like, damn, I didn't know that was going to be more of my style that I like to play like.
It kind of like a coach when I was younger, right? That like I had a coach in like junior high school that really started to put that battery in my back, right? Because I, you know, I wasn't always I'm going to be this, right? Like I was very rarely the best player on my team. I wasn't top 100. I wasn't none of that. So having a coach that started to see things in me you know, at a young age to say, nah, like, you can do this if you really, you know, want to get after it. So, like, that was, you know, one of my junior high school coaches. In the NBA, like, I think Phil, beyond, like, playing offense in a way that allowed for, like, Hall of Famers to eat, as well as, like, enough room for other guys to eat, it was really him kind of bringing to us a level of ownership and accountability, right, as a player. Because we if you come up in the wrong situation or you know, you get comfortable placing blame elsewhere, right? It's coach didn't let me do this, referees, oh man, if they would have just let me rock, I could have, you know, I could have been. He just kind of wiped all of that out for us, right? Like, we had flamed out in the playoffs the 3 years prior to his arrival. And in our minds, right, it was all these other reasons why it didn't work out. So when Phil got hired, it was kind of like, all right, so he just won 6 championships in Chicago. And so therefore, all the excuses were gone. You know what I mean?
Shut up. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it was nothing you could say. Shut up and listen. So now my dog is trying to get an interview. And so, yeah, so I think Phil really kind of helped me transition from
mine's chilling.
Even thinking that I could put any type of blame elsewhere. Like, if I wasn't performing well, that was on me. Not Shaq's fault, not Kobe should have passed more, not somebody should have set a better screen. That's on me. And that, to me, changed the direction of my career.
Well, not to say that that's weird that you say that, and then the Lakers have their situation where it seems like the blame is gone everywhere. Right now, everyone for this team, and obviously, you know.
Hey, Rob said it. Rob said it yesterday. We're not going to start playing the pointing fingers game and blame game.
They don't need to start. They've been doing it all season.
That's what I said. You're in the middle of an interview doing the blame game.
That, but he also did take full responsibility and accountability for everything that happened this season.
Is that what you – wait. Go ahead, Channing.
From D-Fish's perspective, that's what I just want to know as a coach. He's been a coach. He's been a player.
Now a GM.
What is his perspective? Yeah, and so now a GM also. So he is the foremost expert.
I wish I was an expert.
Like, what is his opinion on this?
Put that in a bottle, and I wouldn't have to work so hard. I could just sell my expertise out the bottle. I mean, you know, as you guys know, like, man, that, you know, so many stories and things get written and reported and said without, you know, if somebody was actually in your locker room or around your team, they would laugh at what gets reported compared to what actually happened. So I want to start there. But I think second, like, it in a team situation, man, everybody has to take responsibility. And players have to take responsibility for, I could have been better coming into this season. I could have been in better shape. I could have worked on a particular part of my game more. I could have thought about our roster once it was constructed and figured out, okay, maybe this is how I used to play. But in order for me to help this team, I'm going to need to be a little bit better at catch and shoot. Or I'm going to need to be a little better at this particular skill because this team is different than the teams that I've been on before. Coaches, like, we literally stress ourselves out because we always take the blame. Like, fans and media and people that write it and say it, like, he or she already did that, right? Like, they've already lost a lot of sleep and stressed themselves out about how you could have better prepared the team, right? You know, you didn't put the team in position to be successful as much as you could have. So there's no question that Frank Vogel and the staff are having those thoughts. But management also, right? Like, now in this position as a GM, like, it's my job to think about roster construction. And if my star players or my most capable players are Liz Cambage and Nneka Ogumike, how do we build a team around what we feel like could be the best front court in basketball? How do we put players around those two that are really going to allow them to be as elite as they can be, which that's what you need, right? Like, the championship teams have MVP candidates, you know, and so LeBron and AD are those type of guys where they could be MVP candidates, but how do you surround them and put a team together, you know, that can still win at a high level? So my assumption is that everybody's taking responsibility. And the unfortunate part for them is that they're on the biggest, brightest stage, you know, almost in sports. So you know what I mean? So all of the no, it is not.
It ain't for everybody.
Player, coach, man, it is not for everybody.
Oh, no.
It is not.
There's not for every, like playing in the NBA, a lot of people can. And a lot of people can play, a lot of people can coach, but like high level shit, like that high level elite. And like, I was a witness to it. I was never the Kobe or Shaq. I was never the LeBron. Like that goes without saying, but it's like, I felt like, I felt like in my career playing in four finals, you know, Channing, you played in like half, one and a half.
You didn't win.
I want your best memory from 2002.
My point that I'm saying to D Fish, I was trying to D Fish is that I think that our perspective is different. Our perspective of a champion is, okay, those are our horses, LeBron and AD, Kobe and Shaq. You know, it was LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Love. Those are our horses.
Yes.
How do I fill in the gaps to make us unbeatable? How do I fill in the gaps, whether it's defensively, whether it's rebounding, is it steals, is it communication? Like, that's the responsibility of the Channing, of the Derek Fishers, of the me, of the Rick Foxes. Like,
and the Mack Truck.
You know, you weren't a great player, you know, yourself. What?
Oh, no, she got buckets, though. She got buckets.
The deal.
But if you need a good one,
we are her number one hype machine. Let somebody say, like, about, oh, why is it that there's females? And you're like, wait, what? Like, no, that's Mack Truck. That's like, if you didn't play Division I college basketball, you're not allowed to talk, right? But what do you think the difference is for a championship level, let's say, role player? Because either they make it seem like it's a star and a role player. There's more levels to it. But like, as a person that won five championships, and I believe you were a starter on
first
all
one,
of those
I came
teams,
off the
or
bench.
On like, well, you were a starter, you starting point guard on
Ron Harper was a starter that first year. Yep.
Back to you in a second, but first we want to tell you about our friends at NerdWallet. Hey everyone, Allie Clifton here from the Road Trippin' Podcast. Are you still dreaming about a home with a driveway hoop? Well, what if we told you NerdWallet can help you take the first steps to make those dreams a reality? NerdWallet's team of nerds research hundreds of the top credit cards, mortgages, and more so you can easily compare and find what is right for you. And since you're getting a front yard hoop, let's make the backyard perfect for barbecues and NBA watch parties. NerdWallet can help you find a low mortgage rate so you can find the right place with lots of space in both yards. Ready to compare your way there? Take the first step by discovering the smartest credit cards, mortgages, and more today at nerdwallet.com. That's NMLS 1617539.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, what do you think the difference is of being a championship?
Man, I think it's changed a lot since, you know, since we were doing our thing. It's always been difficult, but now, like, role players don't get to hide as much. Like, we could kind of sometimes, like, Kobe and Shaq took a lot of heat when at times, like, the rest of us were sucked and they were doing plenty, right? Or, you know, Pau Gasol and Lamar, you know, their talent, you know, if we came up short, a lot of times it was things that, you know, I was getting older, not as quick or fast and being able to do certain things, or other guys where we could have gotten better. But the star players usually are going to be stars. I think the difference now is that, you know, I think guys coming into the league, like they're taught the game a different way. You know, the game has definitely become more individualized, right? Like, so prior to getting to the league, if a guy's 22 to 26 now, you know, he came through a time in basketball where it transitioned from, you know, team, right? And to more, you know, individual workouts, individual training, things that were is really focused on his game and, you know, him euro stepping and splitting through three people, high pickup, low pickup, when in reality he should be passing the ball to the corner. Because if you're trying to euro step and high pickup between three people, that means somebody's open. And, you know, and so when we were taught the game as a role player, you didn't take those risks. We weren't taught to take that much risk as a role player. We stayed in our lane. we did our thing, and we kept it moving. And so that and the stage is bigger for all the role players now. Like, you could be a role player in Utah, Milwaukee, Orlando, Toronto, and there's still a 24/7 news cycle that's analyzing you're the weak link. You're why the Raptors, you know what I mean? You're why the Raptors came up short. You're why the Bucks didn't advance. Yeah. Like, Giannis was good. Chris Middleton was good. You know, Jrue Holiday was good. But they needed this guy to play better. And we didn't necessarily get that much analysis in our role when we came up. So that puts – it's hard to, like, take on that, like, you suck. You know, Fish can't do this. RJ, you're not this. Channing that. When in reality, you know, if you saw that same guy at the gym, you would roast him 40-2, right? But you know, but I'm just saying, like, so we, yeah. But I think we had enough grit, right, to be able to handle sometimes those question marks about us, and we knew that as long as our team won the championship, that was going to be the last laugh. And you know, guys are a little different now. Like, it's harder to take that criticism. Cause now I'm on social media too. I'm gonna respond back to that criticism, and we didn't have that. We didn't have social media to try to respond. Our response was, I'm gonna go out here and play better than I played last night, and so that, I think those are some of the differences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
let's talk. Obviously, we're into the playoffs, and I think that. Obviously you're going to be very busy with Sparks and stuff, but you still have a very good pulse and understanding of what's going on with the NBA. And so by time this airs, the play-in tournament should be behind us. So let's, like, think bigger picture, I guess, with the playoffs in mind. Is there any one particular matchup for all three of you that you guys are looking at, you're excited to watch? I did just come across, I didn't realize that the number one seed in the East has not reached the NBA Finals since 2017. Obviously Miami is there. There was a report that came out.
Who wasn't in 2017?
Oh, I don't know. You may have been.
Were we the number one seed in 17?
16, 17. Yeah, we were beating a junk.
No, we weren't the number one. When did Toronto? No, because Toronto knocked us out. So, is that the year?